This weekend, as Americans, we give thanks to God for the gift of our nation. And think back to the words of the Pledge of Allegiance, where we pledge our allegiance to the flag of our great country, the United States of America, and to this great land, this republic for which it stands, which is meant to be one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. We think of the great words of Abraham Lincoln, who spoke about our nation's government being of the people, by the people, and for the people, and we pray that this government may not perish from the earth. A French observer who came to the United States not long after the American Revolution made a comment saying that America is great because America is good, but if America ceases to be good, then America will cease to be great. And none of us here is without knowledge of the fact that our country is losing its goodness bit by bit because some people quite simply don't care for God. They don't want to hear His commandments. They don't want to follow His laws. They want to do their own thing, not God's thing, to their own detriment. But that's where you and I come into play, not just as Americans, but also as Christians. By our faith, we, of course, are meant to love our country and love our native land, which we should. But we also love God. While we are patriots, we're also believers. We love our native place. We want to see our native place grow in faith and in grace. Through our baptism into Christ Jesus, every one of us has been given a share of prophecy. Now, prophecy does not mean being able to see in the future. Some prophets could do that. But the prophets of the scriptures were chosen by God to be His mouthpieces. They were to go out and to speak His word to the nations, which many times had gone against Him. And we're called to do that too, to pass our faith on to our families, our friends, our neighbors, our community, to everyone around us. As Christians, our lives are meant to preach the entirety of the gospel. So what the Lord said to Ezekiel, He pretty well says to you and me who are baptized into Christ. As the Lord spoke to me, Ezekiel says, the Spirit entered into me, just as the Holy Spirit was given to us at baptism and confirmation. And He sets us up on our feet. And I heard the one who was speaking say to me, Son of man, I'm sending you to the Israelites. Are He saying to us, Son of man, daughters of men, I'm sending you to all those around you, rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have revolted against me to this very day. Hard of face and obstinate of heart are they to whom I'm sending you. Like Jesus says, I'm sending you as sheep in the midst of wolves. But you shall say to them, thus says the Lord your God. This is what God says. This is what God wants. This is what God expects. And whether they heed or resist, for they are a rebellious house, they shall know that a prophet has been among them. So whether people listen or not, whether they acknowledge it or not, because they're rebellious, they will know definitely that a representative of God has been among them. It's our job to plant the seed, not to judge, but to let God do the rest, and He will. We as a church have this prophetic mission to proclaim the saving truth of the gospel. Sometimes we're going to be mocked for it, as the psalm says. Our souls are more than filled with the mockery of the arrogant and with the contempt of the proud, but that's okay. We have to be content, as St. Paul says, with weakness. Be content with insults, be content with hardships, be content with persecutions, and even constraints for the sake of Christ. For as Paul says, when I am weak, it is then that I am strong. That means it's not us doing the work, it is God doing the work in us and through us. Every society's judgments, every society's conduct, their laws, their way of life, all of the things about a society reflect a vision of man and his destiny. If we don't believe in heaven or hell and believe that there's nothing at the end of life, then we're not going to live for anything. But if we do believe that there is eternal reward or eternal damnation, which of course there are, then we're going to live our lives accordingly because logically none of us would want to go to hell. We shouldn't want to. We'd want to be with God forever. If not for the love of God, at least for the escape of hell. You know, that's the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God's judgment and the fear of hell that should lead us to a deeper love for God. But we also note that without the light of the gospel, without the light that the gospel sheds about God on us, then societies easily become totalitarian. If there is no heaven or hell, then there must not be a soul. if there is no soul, then the human person is not even a person. You're just an animal who happens to walk and talk and think somewhat. And so then somebody wants to say, well, that's the case. If you don't have a soul, you don't have a rational mind, you don't have a free will, you're not an individual. You're simply at the mercy of the state. Therefore, you will do what we say. You will be what we say. You will act and think and dress and live the way that we tell you to live. That's totalitarianism. The beginning of that is pride. Pride, of course, is of Satan. Religion is not the enemy. We know that. Religion is not the enemy at all, but the lack of religion, the lack of religion or the perversion of faith with hypocrisy and false teachings, that is the enemy. If you love God, you will love your country. If you love your country, then you're called a racist. If you support law and order, you're called a fascist. If you stand for marriage and family as God intends, you're called a sexist or a homophobe. Names, names, names. This is nothing else but names. Again, our souls are more than filled with the mockery of the arrogant and the contempt of the proud. But our eyes are fixed on the Lord, pleading for His mercy. It is the duty of a Christian, Christians of any country, every country, to profess and to live their faith openly, fearlessly, and in a compassionate way that does not willfully smother people with it, but is genuinely practiced, honestly lived, and is the basis of all that we do without any apology for living the truth. I'll say that again. It is the duty of Christians in this country and every country to profess our faith and to live our faith openly, to do so without fear, and to do so in a compassionate way that does not willfully smother other people with it, but is genuinely lived, honestly practiced, and is the basis of all that we do and all that we are, with no apology, no apology for living the truth. No, we don't beat people over the heads with our Bibles and crucifixes. We don't try to lasso them with the rosary. It's all done by love and a witness to honesty, truth, and faith. We abide by the laws. We pay our taxes. We vote. We contribute to the good of society. We love our neighbor. We try to assist those in need. We take care of the poor and the sick. We welcome those immigrants who honestly want to come here for a new way of life. We, as Jesus said, love others as He Himself loved us. We are called to love our brothers and sisters in the faith here and in other lands. In our own nation, we must work in and with civil authority to build up a society in a spirit of truth, justice, and solidarity, not seeking to split people apart, as some people are doing today, but to bring people together. We are here to respond to freedom and to enjoy the freedoms and liberties that God has given us, respecting the rights and freedoms of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which we all know. That there is no life, there is no liberty, there is no pursuit of happiness where there is rebellion to God and His commandments. Sin does not bring life, it does not bring liberty, it does not bring happiness. Never did, never will. At the same time, you and I are not obliged ever in conscience to follow any laws or directives that contradict the teachings of Christ in sacred scripture or in the church. God has given us a moral order that was set by Him, and we must obey God rather than men, as is said in the Acts of the Apostles. But we are here to foster charity, to teach humility, responsibility, to establish concord with each other within the diverse members of our own nation. And we're also here to do the same thing, to foster charity, teach humility, responsibility, and establish concord with nations around the world, that we as a nation, as Christians in this country, can be a beacon of hope, to be an inspiration of love, inspiration of peace, an example of holiness for all. St. Paul said to the Romans, "Be subject, for the Lord's sake, to every human institution," that means even our nation, "but live as free men and as free women, but not using your freedom as a pretext for evil, but in all things, in all places, to live as servants of God."